Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast, another Tactical Tuesday episode. And today we're answering a question from the Dropship Tribe Facebook group. If you're not part of our free Facebook group, please come join us. Facebook.com/group/Dropship Tribe, or just search the Dropship Tribe. We'd love to have you in there. I think we just crossed 1,000 members somewhere on there. A lot of activity in there, a lot of good questions. And so if you'd like your question answered, hop in the Dropship Tribe and ask it. Today we had a good one that we stumbled across. I think John and I both gave very long answers, but we were like, let's make a podcast out of this because I don't know. I think it's kind of an interesting topic. We're all consuming somewhere online. We're all consuming content in one way, shape, or form. And so asking, hey, Ben, hey, John, where do you guys actually consume? Who's putting out good content? I think is a great question. And I think, you know, we might have a take here, or maybe we listen to people that no one's ever heard of, and maybe that'll be valuable. Or, you know, I think John has an angle on this, or I have an angle on this that is unique to us. So I'm interested to see what you have to say, John, and you know, I'll throw in my two cents as well.
Yeah, look, I think when I started thinking about that question and my answer to it, I kind of realized that at this point or at this stage, I don't actually consume that much content online. And that kind of felt a bit strange, I think, given, you know, obviously we put out a lot of content online and we love people to consume our content. And I thought about that, and I think there's various transitions that you do go through with this stuff through your entrepreneurial journey. So I used to consume a lot of content, right? When I was more in the learning phase of my journey. So when I first was starting out, and probably for the first few years at least, maybe even longer, I was consuming a lot of content, a lot of podcasts, a lot of blogs, a lot of YouTube videos, learning how to do a whole bunch of things that I wanted to do in my business. And I think there is maybe a, I don't know that it's a minimum, but there certainly is a point where I think you cross, you've crossed and you've found a lot of stuff, you've watched a lot of stuff, you've learned a lot of things, and you kind of get to a point where some of it starts to get a bit repetitive. Do you know what I mean? Like, as in, and what I mean by that is that, like, the basics and the fundamentals of business, online business, they don't actually change as frequently as some people would, I think, like to have you believe. And so a lot of stuff that you start to hear, if you've been through and, you know, read a lot of the classic books and all of that sort of thing, is really just a bit of rehashing of what other people have already said. And, you know, so I think for me, that's kind of, that effect is kind of cut down a little bit on the content, the amount of content I'm consuming right now. So I thought that was interesting to think about that from that sort of perspective.
Yeah, I think it's seasons, right? Like when I first was discovering what I wanted to do, starting an online business, I could not stop consuming. I just wanted more and more and more. And I think I was looking for like this magic piece of knowledge that would like put it over the top. And I often put the people I was listening to up on this pedestal that they knew something I didn't know. And once I knew what they knew, then I'll be able to solve this thing. And in reality, it was just, you know, I have a line at the bottom of this stuff is like consuming, where did I put that? Consuming is like watching porn and building is like having sex. And that's all it was like just intaking porn. Just like, can I get more information? And the more I took in, the more I learned, the more I felt like I had accomplished, even though I had done nothing. But the more I listened to a podcast and like would take three nuggets out of there and maybe put it in my notes app of like where I was going to go and the things I was going to do. And I felt like I had accomplished something by listening to that. But in fact, I had done nothing. I actually hadn't went and built anything. And it's when I finally like said, okay, maybe consume a little less or just build alongside of it that I ended up learning more by doing anyway. And I started realizing that those people I was listening to, they were no different than me. They were just trying to figure it out. They were just trying to solve it. And you know, it slowly removed the pedestal from underneath all the people I was listening to.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, part of the risk is with consuming content is that these days there's a lot of content out there. Like there's probably in some ways, in some areas, too much content. And the risk if you're somebody who's just getting started is that, yeah, you can get, I think, too sucked into thinking that you're learning, and that takes away from actually doing. So I think there's a balancing act, right, when it comes to content and consuming content online. It should be something that helps you and gives you like levers to pull on, but it can't take away from you actually going and pulling some levers, right? That's the most important thing, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your journey, is that you're actually doing something. Like the doing has to come first. That I think for me, that the content stuff should come second.
The unaccounted for piece here is dopamine, right? So if you open TikTok, which is literally the greatest platform that's ever existed for social media, hands down, you can't go on. If you're liking the right things and watching the right videos, it's going to give you more. Their algorithm is fantastic. The content's fantastic. And it's just like dopamine, dopamine, dopamine. And so yeah. When you go build something, you don't get that feedback, right? It's not an instant dopamine feedback, which is the world we live in nowadays, right? Like instant entertainment, instant feedback. The moment you like go some, you know, place in your head you don't want to be, you just pull out your phone and leave that place and then go, you know, get the dopamine hit you've been looking for. And so building, while I think it's more rewarding, it's longer, right? And so can you have that delayed gratification, which is hard nowadays? Like you said, there's content everywhere. There's so much content out there and so much, honestly, there's really good content out there on every subject you could ever imagine. Whatever you're into, you can find content on that. And so, yeah, I don't think it was that way. And, you know, you started in 2014. I started in 2015, consuming in 2014. It just wasn't there yet, right? The internet hadn't quite blossomed into what it is today.
Yeah, absolutely. And particularly, you know, the sort of space that we're in and e-commerce, there was, you know, which is obviously the place where this question originally came from, there was a lot less out there back then. I mean, there was still content there, definitely, but there was a lot less, I seem to recall, than there is today for sure. So,
well, let's get to the meat of it. What are you actually consuming on a day? Like, what do you, you know, I can look back. Certainly, I can look back to what I used to consume and where I thought I needed to consume. But today, it's in a very different spot. And so, like, do you remember, like, what you were listening to way back in the day? I mean, there was a couple like nomad type podcasts of people living, you know, in random places around the world that inspired me to get started in the first place. They didn't really know what they were doing business wise, but like they were, they inspired me to think that there could be a different life. And that's where I started, I think, and was just really trying to consume anything I could on what this business model could be like.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I listened to some of that stuff. I would really struggle to recall what some of the actual podcasts were called or anything like that. But I think in the beginning, yeah, I did listen to some podcasts of, yeah, people who were those kind of like, you know, this is the online business ideas, you know, this is what's working today kind of sort of podcasts, you know, there are a few of those around, and that sort of thing. I think though my approach was always and kind of still is today, just at a lower volume. I tend to approach content from the perspective of like, what do I want to know? And then I'll go and find somebody who speaks about that specifically. So like when I look back at the list of people I've followed, I can see like patterns. Like when I went through a period where I wanted to learn more about SEO, the content I was consuming was by people who were doing content on SEO. When it was pay-per-click advertising, you know, there were a few people that I was following for a while on pay-per-click advertising. I consumed, you know, basically everything they had on that. And that's still the same today. I think there's a few places where I consume content, but none of them are actually public free content now that I think about it. You know, the only place I'm consuming content right now are things that I'm paying for. And once again, it's to pick up on a few specific things that I'm interested in doing right now, like learning more about, because I think my knowledge, I might have a knowledge gap or something like that. So I don't really come at it from the perspective of I'm just going to sit down, relax, and listen to someone's content kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Which I think a lot of people do that. So as you were saying, going back to the dopamine thing and all of that sort of stuff. I don't really find myself in that space, which once again, I think is just a symptom of having four kids and, you know, I don't really find myself just sitting down to do anything. In that sort of way.
Hey, just want to jump in here real quick and say, if you're loving this show,
The number one thing you can do to help us out is simply go to Spotify or iTunes or whatever you're listening on and smash that follow button, that subscribe button, and leave us a review. It really does help us reach more people. And if you've got a friend that you know should be listening to this, send the podcast over to them. We'd love to have them join us as well. And real quick, two quick resources I have for you. If you want to join us in our free Facebook group, you can find that at facebook.com/groups/dropship tribe, or just search the Dropship Tribe. And we also have a paid version of this podcast where you can get even more of John and I in longer form content. You can find that on Patreon at patreon.com/dropship podcast. All right, back to the show.
And I'm a podcast junkie, right? I like to go for a walk every single day. So, you know, I'm listening at 2X or 3X if it allows me to. And I consume a lot of podcasts that way. In the beginning, it was FOMO, right? I was listening to people who had the life I wanted. And it led to even more FOMO because this guy was doing Amazon FBA, which was really hot back then, right? You could have really gamed the system and done well in Amazon FBA in 2015. The next guy was doing print on demand. The next dude was doing affiliate marketing. And so I was just getting FOMO of like, oh, maybe I should be doing this. Maybe I should be doing this, rather than focusing on the one thing that I was starting and actually getting good at. But I think my tendency has leaned more to finding podcasts who bring in the type of guests I want to hang out with and really letting them curate who I listen to, because there is a lot of noise out there, right? And you're not going to like everybody. I guarantee there are people listening to this right now who are like, man, I really like John, but that Ben dude is annoying, or vice versa, right? I guarantee it. Like, you're going to vibe with some people online, jive with them, whatever. You're going to like some people and you're just not going to like others. There's plenty of big gurus out there that I really don't like. They just rub me the wrong way. I wouldn't consume their content. One is Grant Cardone. I can't fucking stand the guy. He's just really fucking annoying to me. And I'm sure he's telling great things. I'm sure he's saying good stuff, but I can't do it. I can't be around him. There's plenty of others as well. And then there's others that I like where I'm sure John would be like, what, you listen to that guy? That, you know what I mean? Or that gal. And so I imagine the method I took was because I wanted to find who I liked. And I also wanted somebody to kind of curate that for me so that I wasn't getting introduced to, you know, some of the shady characters on the internet. So one of my favorite podcasts is ran by my coach, Elliot. He runs the Primed Mind podcast and he brings on people that are in his circle. I'm going to trust pretty much anybody Elliot brings on there, because Elliot's very good at curating the people in his life, the people that come to his mastermind, the people that come on his podcast. And I think everything else I listen to on this list is kind of the same way. Just the ability to bring in the right people to me. You know, where did you start, John? Your answer in the Dropship Tribe is there's some big fucking names in here, right? And so how did you stumble into each of those and realize, you know, look, I'll use Frank Kern, right? Like, how did you stumble into Frank Kern and realize he's the guy I should listen to rather than, you know, 47 other Joe Bag of Donuts that are talking about the same thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Frank Kern probably, some of the dudes on my list I started listening to because I wanted to work out how they were doing what they were doing online, right? So Frank Kern, like, you can't basically be on Facebook without seeing ads from Frank Kern if you've got some sort of interest in online marketing, right? Dude's like, you know, one of the most prolific in that space, both from a content and from an advertising perspective. He's run ads for all of the big names that you've seen online in the last, I don't know, 20 years or something. The dude's been doing it since the late 90s, right? So I think originally with some of those names, I actually heard about them and heard what and or saw what they were doing. And I was like, I want to kind of dig into their ads and kind of look at their funnels and do all of that sort of stuff and work out how it's all working for them. And then through the course of doing that, you actually start listening to them. And like you were just saying, like, some people you click with, some people you don't. And so I think that's probably for him, you know, going through some of his stuff, purchasing some of his stuff just to see what was actually in there, you know, that kind of morphs into, okay, I think this dude's actually got something good to say that I can learn from, and so I'm going to keep listening, kind of thing. That's sometimes how it works for me, literally, is that some of the names on that list, like, which were ones that I listened to earlier, like talking about like SEO. So I mentioned it earlier, I went through a period where I was trying to learn a lot about SEO in my earlier high ticket dropshipping experience, because nobody in the high ticket dropshipping space knew dick about SEO really, or was talking about it, which still blows my mind. And to this day, I think we're still the only people that do, to be honest. But, you know, I came across names like obviously Neil Patel, Brian Dean, and a few others. Really, I think I came across them just by Google searching, to be honest. I mean, they're SEO guys, so guess what? They've got tons of blog posts and online content, and they rank really, really well for those sort of search terms. So I think, yeah, that's how I found a lot of them. Same for the pay-per-click stuff. Probably a similar way, yeah.
Those first two are a good example of like, we're going to like different people. I'm not a Neil Patel guy. I never have been. Yeah. I always thought he was a little shady or just like, I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty good bullshit detector, and he's, he's making it turn red. Just stay away from this guy. So I don't know. I never got into Neil Patel. Brian Dean, on the other hand, big fan. Like, I think you should list everyone on here, 'cause you have some really smart names on here. And so, you know, for the SEO, you said Neil Patel and Brian Dean. Why don't you go through the rest of the stuff you have on that? 'Cause they're like, a lot of these people are someone either I have listened to in the past or still do listen to currently.
Yeah. So once again, I kind of arranged all of my things by topics that I listen to, which goes back to what I was saying, is I tend to listen to people based on wanting to learn about a specific thing. So SEO, I had Neil Patel, Brian Dean, pay-per-click advertising or Google pay-per-click advertising, which is obviously something we're big into for high-ticket dropshipping. Perry Marshall and Mike Rhodes, kind of two of the OGs of Google Ads, and teaching people how to utilize that platform. If I want to learn about how to build great offers, which we've talked about on this show a little bit, Alex Hormozy and Todd Brown. Todd Brown's kind of a bit of an under-the-radar guy that not many people will have heard of. He's one of those dudes who has once again worked with a lot of the big names that you have heard of to help them, you know, build their offers, and he has a particular method for doing that, which is really well, and which I've flipped and utilized in some of what I talk about when I talk about building an offer for high-ticket dropshipping specifically. Email marketing, Amy Porterfield. Marketing in general, Frank Kern. Learning about funnels. I mean, it's a bit of a cliche, but Russell Brunson. I think his books in particular, while they do get flogged to death online, they are actually pretty good. There is good stuff in there. A lot of it, once again, is rehashing what some of the really old big names in marketing taught in via books and things like that, but it's a modern spin on it that's applicable today, and I think people can grasp that a lot easier when it's put in that way. For social advertising and offers, once again, Jason Hornung. Once again, he's a dude who's run traffic for pretty much every big name you've heard of. He's, you know, things like Facebook ads and all of that sort of stuff. Jeff Sawyer, once again, Google Ads and Google Analytics. He's a guy to follow. Andy Frisella, there's one that will be polarizing for a lot of people. Andy's kind of one of the dudes that you'll either love or hate.
He goes by the name the motherfucking CEO, right? Like,
yeah.
He's an interesting character.
He's a character. I'll give him that. He's very in your face. I think he's probably the sort of guy that guys are going to like more than a lot of women. We'll probably find him fairly offensive. I could imagine. I can see that. Not because he's offensive to women, just like very in your face kind of thing. Very aggressive. That's what I'll say. Very aggressive. But look, listening to that kind of clicks with me personally. And so I heard his name off. I think I actually heard his name from somebody I was coaching at the time. One of my first students went and listened to it, and it just clicked for me. Kept listening. Sort of thing, as you were saying.
He's got a program like called 75 Hard that I think, even if you don't,
I've done that.
If you don't want to listen to Andy, which again, I'm with you. I think maybe some people just won't want to listen to Andy. Certainly, certainly. Though, if you're really young and you're in the woke culture, if you will, you're not going to like him. You aren't. However, his program 75 Hard that you said you've done, that is mindset. Like it is meant to break you. It is very hard to consider doing that. And the fact that you have makes me respect the shit out of you, John, because I've looked at it many times and I'm like, to me, that's like a marathon for a guy who sits on a sedentary individual to do that. That's a marathon, right? Like that's very hard. I don't know if you want to go in depth a little bit about 75 Hard, but I would encourage anyone listening to this, if you've never heard of it, just go look up 75 Hard, Andy Frisella. He's got a whole PDF on here of like what you need to do. And it sounds tough. It sounds really tough.
Yeah, I think it sounds tough. I think in some ways I'm probably a bit old fashioned. I think it really sounds it sounds tough when you put it in the perspective of what people do today. But I don't really think it's that tough. It's honestly about building self-discipline, right? So that's something that a lot of people are missing today. And I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people get try business and don't get anywhere with it is because they don't have the self-discipline to follow it through. So 75 hard is basically just a daily set of activities that you have to do every day. And you know, there's a range of different things. It's not actually that complex. Doing physical activity a certain amount of time, a couple of times a day, reading a certain amount a day, and a few other things. I'll let people go and look it up to get the full deal of what you have to do. But the point is that you do all of those things every day for 75 days. If you miss any of it or miss even one thing or miss a day, you have to start back at day zero and do 75 days in a row. So it's really just about training yourself to be able to commit to doing something for 75 days, right, without breaking. And the thought process is behind that is if you can do that, one, those things that you're doing are actually good for you. So you should be a healthier individual at the end of that, physically, but also mentally. Well, it's training your brain to be able to say, I'm going to do something, and then actually follow through and do it. And literally, if one of the things I've learned from coaching people for the last 6 years, very few people are able to do that, right? At this point in history, for any number of reasons, people have a lot of difficulty with doing this, particularly things that are a little bit challenging. And the good things in life are challenging to achieve. You want to build a great business? That's why you're listening to this podcast. That's challenging. If you can't stick to doing challenging things, you're not going to succeed. So it's a good exercise for building a bit of self-discipline, self-reliance. And I'd encourage everyone to give it a go.
Yeah, I pull it up. So I just want to read it real quick. Look, so first off, like completing 75 hard takes the execution of 5 simple tasks every day for 75 days with 0 compromises and 0 substitutions. And if you mess up on any task at any time during the 75 days, you start over at day 1. Doesn't matter if you're on day 2 or day 74. If you fail a completed task, you must restart 75 hard completely. Task 1, follow a structured diet. You can pick any diet in the world you want. Just pick it and you have to stick to it exactly without deviation for 75 days. Task number 2, 2 45-minute workouts. One inside and one outside, or both can be outside. One has to be outside. 2 45-minute workouts every single day. One inside, one out, one must be outside.
And that does mean, by the way, that you will do those in the rain. I've done a lot of workouts in the rain.
It's not on here. I remember there's a podcast around this and he's like, I don't care if it's thunderstorm. I don't care if there's a tornado outside. Like, you have to get this done. There's no excuse, right? Because your brain is very good at making up a reason you shouldn't do it today. Mm-hmm. Task 3, drink a gallon of water, which is seems pretty logical. I don't know. I'm a guy who pounds water, so it's pretty easy for me, but I think it's probably hard for other people. Read 10 pages every single day, not audiobooks. You actually have to read 10 pages of a book every single day. And task 5, take a progress picture to see how far you've gone. So that when reading it out loud here doesn't sound that hard, John. But every time I've really sat and thought about it, I'm like, it's harder than it seems. And it's more like, not like each individual one of those things is hard or in totality it's hard. But showing up for 75, every single day for 75 days, I challenge anyone listening to this to tell me they've done that on anything in their entire life. Like, it's, you know, other than brushing your teeth or like getting out of bed or something like that. Like, doing a challenging task for 75 days straight is very hard.
Yeah, it actually is. And you're right. For different people, different parts of that are challenging. Like, for example, I did find it challenging. I'm not doing it at the moment, but fitting 2 45-minute workouts into some days, you know, that's actually challenging. Not so much wanting to do the workouts because I love to work out, but actually saying some days you're like, holy crap. I was doing that second workout some days at like 10 o'clock at night or something like that, because that was the only time I could tack on that second one, was after everything else was done. So yeah, it is more challenging than it sounds, for sure.
You're making me want to give it a shot. We get the podcast going. We start a challenge that gets Andy to come on the show and show how polarizing he is to our audience. And all right, let's move on. You have two more, yes. Seth Godin and Tony Robbins. Huge Tony Robbins fan. What were you consuming from Tony when you were like, you know, moving along your journey?
So it was, I think Tony's stuff was his books, actually. So I'm a guy that does like to read books in the traditional manner of reading a book. I've never been a big audiobook guy, but yeah, I've got some on the shelf behind me, like, you know, just some of his early books, like Awaken the Power Within, and there's a few more down here. But yeah, I just read his books, and I think that's probably another way that I like to consume content, is to like expand, like open up my thinking. You know what I mean? Like kind of listening to people who are way further down the track than I am, and or in places I would like to be, who are kind of in a place where it's on the limit of where you could imagine yourself being, and listening to them talk about how they got there, how they think, all of that sort of thing. For me, that helps me to open up, you know, the possibilities that I think of and all of that sort of stuff. And so Tony Robbins is kind of in that space for me. And that's why I listen to him. There's probably some other content I've listened to. Like sometimes I just like to listen to people who are in a place that I'd love to be, whether that's business or whatever, and just listen to how they think, more than not necessarily what they're saying, but just how to think like them. I think that's it's difficult to explain, but I think that's an important thing I get from content sometimes as well.
Yeah, I like Jay Abraham talks about this a lot. Go into some other industry and listen to how they market, how they think about their customers, and you'll likely find a nugget that you can bring back to your industry. And so I'm a big fan of Jay Abraham, and big fan of like thinking outside the box like that. Just he's an absolute legend. If you don't know who Jay Abraham is, start looking him up. He's an absolute legend. Back to Tony, if you have Apple Music, whatever they call it, Plus or whatever, I don't know. I pay $10 for all the music in the world for the rest of my life, I would imagine. Look up Tony Robbins in there, and there's something called The Edge. And I vividly recall walking around Chiang Mai for hours and just listening to that whole thing. And it's powerful. If you're willing to allow some of that into your psyche, it's powerful.
So what was on your list, mate? What's on your list?
Yeah. So again, I'm a podcast junkie. So if you're listening to this, you're probably a podcast junkie too. I listen to a few, and so I'll just list them off here. And John, feel free to jump in if any of these are interesting to you. The first one I listed was Acquired, which is I wish I knew the two gentlemen's name. They are basically like going back and looking at some of the biggest businesses that have ever existed. There's some fantastic episodes on there. I won't even begin to tell you where to start. Just look up Acquired and look through all of their seasons and tell me you can't find a business where you're like, I kind of want to listen to that and learn more about that. Very, very good podcast. Next up is the All In podcast, which is David Sachs, Chamath, Jason Calacanis, some of the biggest investors in the world who are all buddies. You know, they make rich jokes that are over your head, but hilarious about Chamath sweaters. And they talk about modern day investing and politics and just, you know, the topics of the day, but they talk through such a thoughtful lens. And, you know, David Sachs I'm super far right, but he's teased as like being super far right and being friends with Tucker Carlson from Fox News. And then Jason Calacanis is teased as being like way left. And so they have differing opinions here. And to me, I like the fact that they can have a discussion. I think America in general, and probably the world, is very polarized. And so hearing different sides actually have a conversation about why they feel the way they feel is, it's important for me to hear that type of conversation, because typically you don't hear that. So, you know, I don't know. That's why I love that one. Next on my list is Ed Milet. I don't know if you ever got into Ed Milet, John. Him and Andy Frisella have a mastermind together, actually. So Ed Milet, they do. Very inspiring dude. If you listen to anything he's ever done, he recently put out a podcast called The Power of One More. He has a book called that too. Just go listen to that podcast and tell me that doesn't absolutely change your life. It is a fantastic podcast. Gary Vee is on here. I don't listen to everything anymore. Everything that he puts out anymore. When he does a keynote, I like listening to those. Just the Q&A at the end is good. But Gary's message has been the same for 10 years. And so if you've heard it once, maybe you need to hear it 100 more times before it gets drilled into your head. But I think it's a powerful message. If you're watching on video, I've got one of his V friends back here, the thoughtful three-horn heart pick. I appreciate what he's trying to teach with that, being thoughtful, being patient, being kind, being candid. Huge fan of Gary Vee. I can't speak highly enough about Gary Vee. So love that. How I Built This is an NPR show with Guy Raz, very similar to Acquired, and it's digging into the origins of some of the bigger businesses in the country that you've definitely heard of. And so again, I would encourage you, type in How I Built This and just scroll through their feed until you see a business. You're like, oh, I want to hear that story. Very, very, very well produced. Awesome, awesome episodes, if I'm honest with you. Next on my list is My First Million. I'm not sure how to describe this podcast. It's like two, I don't want to call them tech bros, but Sean created Bebo, I think, and sold that to Twitch. And Sam created The Hustle, the newsletter The Hustle, and sold that to HubSpot for $28 million or something like that. Very different dude. Sean's very California, and Sam's very Oklahoma, if you will. I don't know how to explain it other than that. And they get a little bro-y sometimes and just make like really terrible bro-y jokes and giggle. But like, to me, it's the ideas. Like they're it's every week or multiple times a week. It's them just coming with ideas or cool shit they've seen. It can be annoying at times. I'll be honest. It can be annoying at times, and but it's good. So it's one I listen to regularly. Another one's called The Passionate Few. Don't remember the host's name off the top of my head. Same thing. He's interviewing some big names and really diving deep into their story. I think he's very good at interviewing. He's a young kid too. And so he's had Ed Mylett on there. He's had Tom Bilyeu, who I'm a huge fan of. You'll see later on this list as well. And just some big names. So The Passionate Few is that one. The Pomp Podcast. I wouldn't call myself a Bitcoin maxi, but I enjoy listening to Anthony Pompliano. So if you check out the Pomp Podcast, you know what I'm talking about. Very Bitcoin focused. Prime to Mind, again, is with my coach, Elliot. And he's just usually interviewing people that have been at his masterminds. And yours truly has been on there too. I think episode 61, I want to say, if you want to check that out. Tim Ferriss Podcast. Some are good. Some are not my style. But I like Tim. I like what he talks about. And I think I skipped over one. Impact Theory. Yeah, Impact Theory with Tom Bilyeu. I would say that is probably the most on-point podcast for me right now. Just everything he's talking about is really touching me in the moment I am in my life. And so I'm a big fan of Tom Bilyeu. He has his own set of NFTs. I'm one of his like original 3 ETH. Like, hard story, but he sold them and then a bunch of people complained because it didn't go to the moon right away. Go figure. And so he refunded everyone who complained. He was like, just take your fucking money back. And then he burned all of those NFTs. So it brought the supply down. And I was like, well, I'm going to keep it because I don't really care. I want to be part of the community. I'm a big fan of Tom. So big fan of Impact Theory University, everything Tom's doing. I'm a huge fan of. He's, you know, he built a $1 billion business and he's trying to compete with Disney now in his next one. Like the fact that he has this much ambition and the way he lives his life, I'm a big, big fan. And then the other one is just, you know, Minnesota Twin stuff. So there's a show called Gleeman and the Geek. It is like a top 3 baseball podcast in the country. And they talk about one of the smallest market teams in the world, which is funny. I have it queued up, ready to go for my drive home. I'm very excited to listen to it. I don't miss those episodes. I'm a huge Minnesota Twins junkie. And so, you know, that's the only podcast I think I listen to, but there's some YouTube videos and things like that. So I think I wrote on here, you know, I don't consume social at all. Really outside of baseball stuff on YouTube and then Twitter, which is baseball most of the time. And then also like direct to consumer and e-commerce stuff. There's a pretty big presence of e-commerce people on Twitter. I can't recommend Twitter enough. And then that's where I wrote, I'll be honest, man, building's way more fun. So I used to consume a lot. I used to think there was things I didn't know. I used to consume constantly. And then I started building and I was like, oh, this is more fun. The dopamine you get from making your first sale or hitting 100K or hitting 1 million or hitting 10 million. That shot of dopamine is way better than the thousands of shots you get from scrolling TikTok or Instagram or listening to podcasts or trying to find that next nugget. I promise you, just like get to work and it's way more fun. So that's where I wrote the line. Consuming is like watching porn and building is like having sex. And I mean that it's so much better to build and earn that dopamine rather than just be, you know, spoon fed it to you.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts,
to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.